Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of SB Nation's The Dream Shakes, The Dream Take Podcast. My name is Mike Brown, coming to you live after another unfortunate loss, but I think that there's a lot of positive things to come from tonight's game. We have got a ton to break down after the 124-121 loss to the Phoenix Suns. The Rockets dropped to 15-41. The Phoenix Suns improved to 47-10. First of all, shout out to the Phoenix Suns because they are one hell of a team. Even with Chris Paul getting ejected tonight and only playing 19 points, Devin Booker is an absolute badass. 24 points. DeAndre Ayton had 23 points. Mikal Bridges had 17 points. Torrey Craig had 9 points. Cam Johnson had 14 points. JaVale McGee had 9 points. Aaron Holiday had 9 points. They've just got a ton of dudes on that team that can play the game at a very, very high level. So getting to the Rockets box score breakdown, Jayshon Tate, 28 minutes, one of his better games he's had in a while. 7 of 9 from the field. He had 10 rebounds. He had an assist. He was a +9 when he was on the court tonight. Alperen Şengün, in the words of John McClane in Die Hard, welcome to the party, pal. Alperen Şengün, 19 points, 14 rebounds, a +11. And I have got some crow to eat, if you will, on Dennis Schroeder. He did not look good the other night. In his first game that he played, he looked like a completely different player tonight. 23 points. He did have 6 turnovers, but he had 9 assists. He had 6 rebounds. He was 7 of 8 from the free throw line. An efficient 7 of 16 from the floor. Great performance from Dennis Schroeder. You can see why the Rockets wanted to bring him into the fold. If I'm wrong, most of the time I'll come on this show and admit it. I try to 100% of the time. But great game from Dennis Schroeder tonight. Eric Gordon, 38 minutes, 8 of 24 from the field. He did have 20 points. But the whole game, he hit some big shots down the stretch. But man, and y'all in the chat, we've got a bunch of stuff to talk about in the chat. If you want to come up on stage, hit that request to speak button. I'd love to bring you up, talk all things Houston Rockets. I'm taking any and all calls. Josh Christopher played 11 minutes tonight. Is Josh Christopher in the doghouse for some reason with Steven Silas? I mean, I don't get him only playing 11 minutes tonight and Eric Gordon playing 38 minutes. I get Dennis Schroeder playing 39 minutes. I mean, he's your de facto point guard. Without Christian Wood, without KPJ playing tonight, I get the 39 minutes for Schroeder. But outside of those guys, and, David Nwaba kicked in with 16 minutes. You know, he gets those 16 minutes because you're just running low on bodies. The Eric Gordon playing 38 minutes versus Josh Christopher only playing 11 minutes doesn't really jive with me. I don't really get that. Something to talk about the rest of the show. Jalen Green, 35 minutes, 5 of 12 from the field, 3 of 7 from the three-point line. He did have 5 fouls, but he was a +11 in 35 minutes. So Sean points out Jay Gupp was acting as the backup point guard and wasn't handling that role well. He said it himself when they acquired Dennis Schroeder. He's not a point guard. The Rockets have to stop trying to make guys something that they're not. Josh Christopher is not a point guard. He should not be handling the ball as a point guard. He's a shooting guard. He is a guy to say, okay, here you go. Here's the ball. Go get a bucket. A la Lou Williams. KJ Martin Jr., another impressive night in spots for him. 5 of 10 from the field. He did have 6 rebounds, 11 points. David Nwaba, 16 minutes, only had 1 point. Garrison Matthews only had 6 points. The bench was god-awful tonight. as a whole, between Martin, Nwaba, Matthews, and Christopher, they were a combined, let's see, 26, 40, minus 47 in their minutes on the court. Usman Garuba, Bruno Fernando did not play tonight. The Rockets had a terrible third quarter, turning over the ball 8 times per Matt Thomas on the radio. So tough night for them. But they only got outscored by 2 points in the third quarter. So overall, really, really fun, entertaining game by the Rockets. They played their hearts out. I'm not one to come onto this show and just bitch and moan for the sake of bitching and moaning. Why did they hang on to Eric Gordon at the deadline is beyond me. I get wanting to have that veteran presence on the team going into next season, but you have David Nwaba. Like, I don't know how many of those guys you really need. And you saw tonight, I'll give you a hot take. This team is better without Christian Wood. And I know it's one game. I get that. I understand that. It's unfair to say that about one game, but it's really not about one game. If you think about the latest, I would say 7 to 10 games that he's played in, the Rockets just look like a different team when he's on the floor versus when he's not on the floor. You got a glimpse tonight of what the future of this team is in the front court. And that's Alperen Şengün. And the thing about Şengün is, above all else, we all know what the talent can look like for a guy like Şengün. I've been a tad critical of Şengün just because I think he's going through rookie stretches that are tough. You know, he went up against tonight JaVale McGee and DeAndre Ayton. DeAndre Ayton had 23 points. He had 9 rebounds. I don't think Şengün was overwhelmed at any point tonight, though. I think he held his own against one of the better big men in the league. And I got to tell you, man, that Shane, I'll get to you in just a second. I just want to finish this off before I lose it. Tonight is one of those nights that you look at and you say to yourself, and you guys know how critical I have been about this team, and the way that they've lost some of these games has just been downright unacceptable. But tonight, I'm okay with losing the way they lost, because you developed your young guys for the most part. You got good work done on both ends of the court, and you went toe-to-toe with, in my opinion, the best team in the league. Shane, welcome to the show, my man. How are you?
Hey, what's up, man? I felt like tonight you actually saw what a rebuild should look like a bit more once you didn't have Kevin Porter Jr. and Christian Wood there. Like, it just seemed like a bit... But I think, like, Houston has been trying to juggle multiple priorities this season, and it hasn't really looked like a proper rebuild at times. Like, the way, you know, like, for example, Jalen Green was getting, like, 5th in touches for Houston, the Houston team, and then 9th in touches for rookies before this game. But then, like, today it felt like a bit more like, okay, we're actually playing through Jalen Green and Şengün like the way you would normally for a rebuild without Christian Wood and Kevin Porter Jr. there.
Right. Well, I think tonight, I think you make a good point. I think one of my biggest takeaways from tonight would be that I think you saw enough from the young guys that I really would have liked to have seen Josh Christopher get more minutes on a night like tonight. Because a lot of, you know, Dennis Schroeder, look, am I the biggest Schroeder fan? No, I'm not. Because I think he has a ceiling, but I think he plays really well when he's made as focal of a point of an offense as he was tonight. Does that make sense? Like, yeah, tonight, yeah. You know, he got 16 field goal attempts. He's not going to get that on a lot of teams. He's not going to get that in Boston. Now, he still scored 15 points a game, but he was averaging less than 10 field goal attempts in Boston. Now, yeah. Would I like to see him with a second unit of this team? Yeah, I would. Now, if you ask me my preference, you know, I'd rather pick up a point guard project in the draft next year to lead the second unit over a guy like Schroeder. But tonight I saw what the Rockets were seeing in him as a player. Now, everyone knows they acquired him as a player because they wanted to get off of that contract they gave Tice. And the Rockets did that by taking on expiring contracts. Would I like to see Schroeder back next year? The verdict is out. I wouldn't mind him on a cheap deal, but I think he's going to get paid next year. I think he's going to get a decent contract.
Yeah. I mean, like, what would your max salary be per year for someone like Schroeder?
I said it the other night. I forgot. I think Adam asked me this. Me personally, I mean, this year he's on a 1 year, $5.5 million contract from Boston. I think he's shown enough between averaging 15 points per game in Boston and what I think he's going to be able to show this year. I think he's going to get somewhere between like two or three years between like $27 and $30 million.
Yeah.
You know, I think if it's a 2 year deal, I think it's closer to like 17 to 20. I think if it's 3 years, I think it's between 27 and 30. Would be my number for Schroeder. He's a nice player. He just doesn't fit the long-term aspect of this team. The elephant in the room is why Eric Gordon was playing 38 minutes tonight. There's no point. Like, there's no purpose.
But like, that's what I'm saying. The priorities are confused because you have like Schroeder and Gordon there. So then like it's kind of like, okay, yeah, we want to develop rookies, but then we want to make sure Gordon and Schroeder are happy because like they want to win the game, so we got to give them all these minutes. You know what I mean? Like that's the way our team is right now. It's like it's not really like geared towards just like a rebuild. It's kind of geared towards like we want to try and win the game and also rebuild. You know?
Yeah, and that's the thing, man. I mean, they're 15-41. They're out of the playoffs. They're one of the worst teams in the league. It should be about youth. Why not play Brune now? Tonight's not a great example because, Shane, they were going for the win tonight. And I like the fact that they're going for the win because they're trying to build positive habits moving forward, and they've got to find a way to win some of these games. Having Eric Gordon on the court helped your chances at winning tonight. But, play him 30 minutes and give 8 of those minutes to Christopher. You know, it's like the last two games since Schroeder has gotten here. Josh Christopher is the odd man out. I wouldn't mind Eric Gordon being the odd man out, you know, because Şengün got, 28 minutes tonight. That's awesome. I mean, he only had 4 fouls tonight, but going up against DeAndre Ayton and him only having 4 fouls is a positive step forward for him. The way he played tonight is a positive step forward for him. Jayshon Tate was great tonight. He had a horrible turnover in the fourth quarter where the ball went right off of his hands. But besides that, I mean, Jayshon Tate was damn near perfect tonight. So that's where I'm at. I love the way they play tonight. Now they've got to go play, the Clippers tomorrow. That's going to be a really tough game. I wouldn't mind tomorrow night if Wood's not going to play. Tell Eric Gordon, just sit your fat butt down on the bench. That's where I'm at with it.
Yeah, Is it because like the minutes have been taken away for Christopher, you feel that way? Or is it actually because you feel like Gordon is just like not playing well enough to be getting
that? What benefit? No, I mean Eric Gordon is playing fine. Like there's nothing wrong. I mean, on the season he's averaging 14 points per game, a couple rebounds, a couple of assists. Like he's playing fine. But for the people out there that wanna yell and scream about his veteran presence on the court. Well, you had Schroeder tonight on the floor. Like, how many of those guys do you need? You know, like at this point, I've called Christian Wood this guy, but I think this might be a better comparison for Eric Gordon. He's Kevin Martin. You know, remember back in the day when the Rockets were just mediocre as hell and Kevin Martin would score like 17 to 24 points a night? We'd be like, okay, well, we're losing games, but we have Kevin Martin. I mean, he has probably the ugliest jump shot I've ever seen in my entire life. But besides that, you know, like he's scoring points, but they don't mean anything.
Yeah, he had that really quick release, right? Like I remember when when I used to play with Kevin Martin in 2K, it's like you just like put it up for a second, like you can't even like hold at all. Like he had like a super quick release. But I was actually gonna say, I mean, like, do you feel like now when you look at it, it's a, like, when you see one game without Christian Wood, do you think it's like an indictment on the front office that we didn't trade Christian Wood? Because this, it's hard not to see how much better the defense just looks in general when you don't have someone like Christian Wood in there trying to protect the paint when he really isn't putting in that effort to protect the paint, right?
Well, they still gave up, they still gave up 124 points. So it's not like the defense was incredible tonight.
Yeah.
They gave up way too many layups. The bottom line is Şengün is not a rim protector either. You know, he's more of a rim protector than Wood is, but so am I. You know, like, and I'm 5'10", you know, I mean, I'm kidding, of course, but I'm just like,
yeah,
you get the point. That Christian Wood is not a rim protector, and neither is Şengün. The thing about, and here's the scary part, right? And as we get closer to the end of the season, I do want to start talking more and more about the draft, because it's important to note that a guy like Chet Holmgren, in my estimation, doesn't solve this team's problem either. The fact is they've got to find a rim protector somewhere. Like somebody that can be that defensive anchor. That's not Alperen Şengün. Alperen Şengün is just a more selfless version of Christian Wood, where he's most effective if, yeah, he backs his guy down from time to time successfully. He doesn't do it often enough, in my opinion. So if he does it more, I feel like he's a better player. But he likes taking the ball at the top of the key. He had a beautiful move tonight where it was like Dirk Nowitzki-esque. I don't know if you know what I'm making reference to. Like he had a nice spin move with the jump. Yeah, like that's his game. The finesse. Like Dirk Nowitzki was not a rim protector. You know, I'm not calling Şengün Dirk, but you can see similarities in their game. Pau Gasol, right? And no, and I hate when guys do this. I'm not just comparing Alperen Şengün to both of those dudes because all three of them are white, you know? But like his game is reflective off of those types of guys, you know?
Yeah.
Like he's finesse, you know? Like, you know what the Rockets could use, honestly, is a Serge Ibaka. That's what I would love to see this team get in the draft. Like a guy like him, you know, I'm trying to think of another example.
Miles Turner, but then I think that's like a dream more than a reality. But,
yeah, yeah. You're not going to get Turner. I'm just trying to think of a Nerlens Noel, if you will, a Mo Bamba. You know, I know
the problem with that kind of guy though is like, it's not going to work with the floor spacing if we are trying to keep Christian Wood, you know, like it just becomes like weird. Like also with Jayshon Tate, it's actually because of Jayshon Tate's 3-pointer that like having a center that doesn't shoot the threes almost doesn't work at all. Like,
well, he's out of position. Jayshon Tate is not a power forward. That's the biggest problem with Jayshon Tate is they're trying to make him something again that he's not. You know, like he's a small forward to me. You know. He's got the perfect size. He's that guy that you want on the court defending. And I say defending, Shane. Like, just stay with me here. Like, if you're playing Brooklyn, you want a guy like Jayshon Tate trying to stay with a Kevin Durant. You know? Like, you don't want him covering Claxton for the Nets. You don't want Jayshon Tate having to cover a JaVale McGee or a Nikola Jokic. That's not his game. That's not where he's best suited. So
I just feel like the more I see Jayshon Tate, like I like Jayshon Tate, but then I just feel like his 3-pointer needs to even just go up a couple of percent because it's just like it's too much of a liability. Like you literally need 4 shooters on the court with him, and if you don't have that, basically the floor spacing is just pretty bad, like, you know. So like that's my only worry with him. Like no matter what position you play him in, ultimately, you need like 4 floor spaces around him.
I mean, it's fair. It's totally fair. My thing is, the draft is going to where are you picking the draft is going to – let me see how I want to say this. I think this year's draft pick, wherever it ends up in the first round, could potentially be more – not potentially. I'll go out and say it. I think this is a more important draft than last draft. Because you've got to get a guy that can help you. This roster, the way it is right now, the way it's constructed, is not good enough to continually win games. If you can get the draft pick right in the first round, he can be that missing piece to where you could win a game tonight. Does that do you understand? Like, does that make sense? What I'm trying to say? Like, if you got a Jabari Smith from Auburn, right?
Yeah.
And you don't play a guy like an Eric Gordon, and all of a sudden down the stretch, you're playing, you know, let's use tonight as an example, right? Take Gordon off the team. You put out there Dennis Schroeder, Jalen Green, Jayshon Tate, Alperen Sengun, and Jabari Smith. That lineup to me is good enough to win the game with what they played like down the stretch.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, just check.
Are you saying the defense was basically hopeless without having that rim protector next to Sengun?
Yeah, and Lucas says in the chat, Chet would be perfect for the Rockets. I don't see it because I think Chet is just a better version of Sengun.
He's meant to be a defender, though, right? Like, that's kind of like what they say. He's meant to be a good defender.
I think he's meant to be a good defender because of his size. Like, and I'm not talking about when I say size, it's not his muscle. I think it's his height. Like, he's 7. How big is he? He's 7 foot, 195 pounds, right? Yeah. This year, he's averaging 14.5 points, 9.3 rebounds, 2 assists, 3.5 blocks. Okay. The blocks are impressive, but he's also on one of probably the 3 best teams in the country in Gonzaga. I mean, Duke's up there, obviously. Auburn's up there. So he's playing on a great team. The thing that scares me about Chet is while I think his ceiling is high, he could also be Sean Bradley, which is a really scary thought. You know,
does he remind you of Mobley at all?
No, not at all. No, I think Mobley's going to be a better NBA player long term than Chet Holmgren will be. I think the best player coming out of the draft is going to be either Jaden Ivey, the point guard from Vanderbilt, the Vanderbilt kid. Is that who I'm thinking of? Give me a second. Jaden Ivey from Purdue. He's 6'4". He's a guard from Purdue. And the thing is, the reason why I say that is because the league right now, while the big men are starting to play better overall in the league, it's still a guard-driven league. Like, look at the top of the draft. You've got Ivey. You've got the A.J. Griffin kid who's 6'8 from Duke. I like A.J. Griffin. You got Banchero, who's 6'10". You've got Jabari Smith, who's 6'10". And then you've got Holmgren. So I think my top two, if I could pick guys, if I was just starting a team in this draft, I would either draft Jabari Smith or I would draft Jaden Ivey. Like, those are my two guys. And then, obviously, Jaden Ivey doesn't make a lot of sense for the Rockets because you have Jalen Green already. But I'll put this in your ear, Shane. If they would have taken Mobley last year, and then you could have gotten Jaden Ivey this year, see, that would get me excited. But tonight gets me excited. Like, tonight was a fun, exciting game for the first time in what feels like forever for the Rockets.
Yeah, for real. Man, I just can't help but think that, like, if we didn't prioritize Kevin Porter Jr. over everyone else kind of in this player development, and, like, let's say he was a sixth man and just let him go do his thing, score buckets, he doesn't have to worry about assisting, he can just be himself. And then we just started with Sengun and Kareem earlier from this season. Like, I really feel like they would be in a much further along in their development right now than even where they are right now. You know, like, see, I feel like we need to prioritize that, you know.
Well, I'll give you, and Sean brings up, Sean's killing it in the chat tonight, so shout out to you, Sean. I'll give you a scenario. Shane, you ready for this?
Okay.
I think the Rockets are going to hold on to Kevin Porter Jr., right? What if the Rockets, what if the Rockets end up with the fourth pick, right? Let me build you this scenario. Let's say the Rockets end up with the fourth pick in the lottery, right? Let's say they win more games than they should, and they end up with the fourth pick in the lottery. And Jabari Smith, Chet Holmgren, Paolo Banchero are all off the board. What if you drafted Jaden Ivey, and your starting backcourt next year is Jaden Ivey and Jalen Green, and your first two guards off the bench were Kevin Porter Jr. and Josh Christopher?
Well, that sounds really good.
You know, like, I don't think it happens, because I think if you hold on to Kevin Porter Jr., he's shown enough that you're going to have to start him. But maybe you play around with it, right? What if you start KPJ, Jalen Green, and Jaden Ivey, and you send Jayshon Tate to the bench? And all of a sudden you got a Swiss Army knife coming off the bench, and Jayshon Tate and Josh Christopher. You find a power forward in Şengün's your starting five, and you trade Christian Wood and get rid of Gordon. Like,
yeah,
that's the creativity that I'm talking about. Lucas says he wants AJ Griffin. I like AJ Griffin. I'm just throwing out some scenarios here, right? With this is why banking on the draft is such a crapshoot in the NBA. It's not like the NFL, right? Like, it's not a – I don't know how big of an NFL fan you are, Shane, but
– yeah, not really. I mean, I watch the Super Bowl. That's about it.
Okay. But, like, the NFL draft is a lot different than the NBA draft, because you have seven rounds versus two. You know, you have your blue-chip prospects, which are mostly, you know, offensive linemen, defensive linemen, and quarterbacks. The NBA is a little bit different, because the NBA – if you're the Rockets, and like my co-pilot, Jeremy Brenner, said numerous times before, the Rockets are in a point now where you just draft the best talent available. Could you figure out a way, if you drafted a Jaden Ivey, to fit him on this roster? Maybe. Potentially. You know?
I don't know. I mean, if Kevin Porter Jr. is going to continue to be the point guard, I don't know if that's the best use of this draft, because
sure,
I think that just confuses Kevin Porter Jr. even more, you know, because he's already struggled as is to really give Jalen Green those touches anyways. So how much more would it be a struggle for him to try and balance it between Ivy and Jalen Green, you know what I mean?
Like, sure. No, that's a good point. And we haven't talked about Jalen Duran from Memphis, who's another interesting prospect. Like, Jalen Duran, to me, the center out of Memphis, is, you know, he's 6'10". He's exactly what you need. He's a prototypical big man. I wonder how many of the problems get solved with this team if you just have a beast of a big man to defend the rim. Like, the defensive anchor, which you do not have right now. You can't sell me on Şengün, and it's sure as hell it's not Christian Wood. So that's why, you know, you look at, you know, that sort of scenario. Sean says if it's between Chet and Ivy because Jabari is gone, you get Jaden Ivy. Omo says, can we all agree that Wood is overrated and KPJ needs to be the sixth man? I don't agree with that.
That's what I've been saying.
Well, the thing to me, though, is let me ask you this, right? Are you losing games because of KPJ at the point guard spot? Like, solely losing games because he's your point guard?
I mean, he's been doing a lot better than he was before, I'll say that. But then I do think compared to the rest of the league, obviously, he's one of the worst point guards, right, in the league, if we had to be honest, like, compared to the rest of the league, right? Like, you're talking about starting point guard. If you're thinking about just starting point guards, like, when you think about the talent that there is in the league.
Well, there's a lot of talent. There's no doubt, right? You talk about LaMelo Ball. You got Trae Young. Whoever the Heat starting point guard is. Kyle Lowry.
Kyle Lowry.
I get it. listen, I totally get it. The Rockets should be looking to upgrade the roster wherever they can best see fit, right?
Yeah.
If KPJ is your point guard moving forward, which the verdict is out, I guess my biggest issue with acquiring a guy like Schroeder is not to flip-flop, but we're going to wrap up here in a few because I've got work in the morning. The thing about it is allocating resources to a guy in Schroeder where do you acquire him to keep him next year and beyond? Because if you do, then playing him and getting him used to playing with Jalen Green and Şengün makes a lot of sense. If you're playing him in lieu of a guy like a Josh Christopher, it really doesn't make all that much sense. I'm fascinated to see what happens when, you know, KPJ is healthy, what that minute allocation looks like between KPJ and Dennis Schroeder. So,
yeah.
With that note, do you have any final thoughts, Shane?
I think what is it? It's becoming more clear to me that, like, as much as I really wanted it to work with Christian Wood, you just need such a specific player with him, like a defender, defending rim protector kind of guy that can still space the floor for it to really work. And he's just got those deficiencies that, like, when we're actually trying to win, that doesn't seem to make sense. So that's kind of like where I've kind of fallen, I guess, from like today's game.
That's fair, my man. We'll see you next time, brother.
All right. See you, bro.
This has been another episode of SB Nation's The Dream Shakes, The Dream Take podcast. My name is Mike Brown. Once again, wrapping up another episode of SB Nation's The Dream Shakes, The Dream Take. 124-121, Rockets lose to the Phoenix Suns. Tomorrow, we will be back here live on Spotify Green Room with Jeremy Brenner and potentially myself, to be determined. Make sure if you're on Twitter to follow the Dream Take at the Dream Take. You can follow the Dream Shake, the mothership of the Dream Take at Dream Shake SBN. You can follow my co-pilot, Mr. Jeremy Brenner at Jeremy Brenner, JeremyBrenner. You can follow me at BSW_MB. Head on over to thedreamshake.com for all things Houston Rockets all the time. Once again, we have a show tomorrow night here on Spotify Green Room. We then hit the All-Star break. Jeremy and I will be here live together on Tuesday night. So we have a show Thursday. We have a show Tuesday. We will talk to all of y'all tomorrow night. And until next time, Rockets fans, go Rockets!